You know, my dad, he's been in heaven a long time, passed away at the young age of 64, but he taught me a lot. Some of the things he taught me was about religion, because he said, you better pray that stains are going to come out of that carpet. He taught me about behavior modification when he said, stop acting like your brothers. And then about logic. This is one that I said that I would never use, but and I apologize, son, because I know I have many times. Because I said so, that's why. In the circle of life, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. And then about the weather, that was shared. I shared this many times with my boys as it was shared with me. Looks like a tornado swept through this room. But again, we're thankful that our dads teach us some good things about life and give us some good thoughts. In this morning's passage, we see Paul sharing his heart with the believers in Thessalonica. In chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, Paul expresses his thanksgiving for their faith. Let's share together in chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, where Paul writes, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. So here we find Paul just sharing his thanksgiving because he had just come off of a very rough time and with the Philippian church. So he's coming thanking the Church of Thessalonica for their faithfulness, for their love, and for their devotion to God the Father and also to Paul. And in chapter 2, we read how deeply Paul cared for these followers of Christ. In chapter 2, verses the second part of verse 6 on through verse 12, we find Paul writing, all right, where are you? Boy, this is small print. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Now I have a side note in my Bible written by Chuck Swindoll, who says, to balance out your character, you need to do more than guard your heart. It's the flip side that makes you authentic. You also need to give your heart. So if we've already acknowledged a few times today, today is Father's Day, a day or when all of the fathers, or I know to me that name was more commonly, I called him my dad. And that's where our kids give us cards of appreciation, words of affirmation and of love. And so whether you call your father dad or maybe pop or papa or whatever name you know by your kids, I want to encourage you dads today to celebrate your day a little bit differently than what you may have in the previous years, by instead of receiving from your kids, to do something for our kids today and every day. Starting today, let's make up our minds to give our sons and our daughters 6 special gifts that will last a lifetime. Let's give them the gift of a father. And we'll take a look at these 6 gifts, and the 6 gifts together will spell out that word, father, or that name, that title, that very special title. First gift is faith. As fathers, we have the privilege and the responsibility to teach our kids about God. Many men want to leave this honor to their wives and to the moms, but gentlemen, we're told in Scripture that we are the ones to be the spiritual leaders in our homes. So some ways we can teach our kids about God and about their faith is, first of all, to see it in us, but also to pray for and to pray with our children. Have that special time every day. Let our children see us praying. I know the Bible says, enter into your secret place, but there's a time where our kids need to see us as dads praying and acknowledging both our strengths and our weaknesses and giving glory and thanksgiving to God as well. We're told in Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting in verse 6, we read, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them or share with them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." So we need to share our faith. We need to be to show our children that this faith, you know, we read in the New Testament in Matthew about faith that can move a mountain, and we'll share that. But first of all, let me share with you a story told about a small congregation in the foothills of the Great Smoky Mountains. They built a new sanctuary on a piece of land that was willed to them by a church member. 10 days before the new church was to open, the local building inspector informed the pastor that the parking lot was inadequate for the size of the building. And then until the church doubled the size of the parking lot, they wouldn't be able to use their new worship center. Unfortunately, the church with its undersized lot had used every inch of their land except for the mountain against which it had been built. In order to build more parking place, they'd have to move the mountain out of the backyard. Undaunted, the pastor announced the next Sunday morning that he would meet that evening with all members who had mountain-moving faith. They would hold a prayer session asking God to remove the mountain from the backyard and somehow provide enough money to have it paved and painted before the scheduled opening dedication service the following week. At the appointed time, 24 of the congregation's 300 members assembled for prayer. They must have been Baptists. They prayed for nearly 3 hours. At 10 o'clock, the pastor said the final amen. "We'll open next Sunday as scheduled," he assured everyone. "God has never let us down before, and I believe he'll be faithful this time too." The next morning, as he was working in his study, there came a loud knock at his door. When he called, "Come in," a rough-looking construction foreman appeared, removing his hard hat as he entered. "Excuse me, Reverend. I'm from Ace Construction Company over in the next county, and we're building a huge new shopping mall over there, and we need some fill dirt. Would you be willing to sell us a chunk of that mountain behind the church? We'll pay you for the dirt we remove and pave all the exposed area free of charge. If we can have it right away, we can't do anything else until we get the dirt in and allow it to settle properly." The little church was dedicated the next Sunday as originally planned, and there were far more members with mountain-moving faith on opening Sunday than there had been the previous week. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Amen. But, you know, Jesus talked to his disciples about that when he was casting out demons. And the disciples said, "But we can't do that. Why can't we have that power and that faith?" And Jesus told them, he says, "Because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth, that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here,' and to here, to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." So dads, we need to share this mountain-moving faith with our sons and our daughters today. Gift number two is approval. We need to make sure that our sons and our daughters have our approval. Bob and Yvonne Turnbull have written several books and conducted conferences on marriage and family. They say what every child wants to know is this. They want to be able to say, to think, "Dad, when I walk into a room, do your eyes light up when you see me? Do you approve of me?" That's what they're thinking. That's what they're wanting. And they go on to write, they say, the reason our approval is so important is that it allows our child to accept his or her uniqueness and have a good self-image of themselves. If our kids don't get their approval from us, they'll search for it in all the wrong ways and in all the wrong places, they go on to say. Gangs, drugs, sex, or cults. Our homes need to be a safe and secure place for our sons and for our daughters. We find that perfect example of a loving father showing his approval to his son in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3 and verse 17. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Now that happened as Jesus was coming out of the waters after being baptized. And here we find two things that we can take as examples from God the Heavenly Father, where God the Father initiated the approval. Jesus didn't have to seek it out, but the Father was readily there to give his approval. And also God was bragging on his son. And dads, we need to brag on our sons and on our daughters. Let them know we're proud of them, that we approve of them. Gary Smalley and John Trent wrote a book several years ago called The Blessing, about the importance of as parents, as moms and dads, and, but especially with dads, giving our blessing to our kids, giving our approval, accepting them as the unique gift of God that God has given to us as parents. So not only sharing our faith, giving our approval, gift number three is time. This gift is a must for all kids, especially when they're young. Many think that a father's love, L-O-V-E, is really spelt T-I-M-E. By the time that we spend with our sons and daughters. Stories told of a young boy approached his dad as he was busy working one day, and he waited for a moment and then asked his dad how much he made per hour. His dad didn't answer but continued to work. The boy asked again, "Dad, how much money do you make an hour?" The dad, annoyed at the boy's insistence, stated he did not really know the amount. So the young boy hung his head and left. Later, the dad felt bad about being so abrupt with his son and went into the living room and to have a talk with him. He found his young son carefully counting stacks of coins which he had saved. His dad apologized to him for being so sharp and asked why he wanted to know how much money he made in an hour. The little boy said, "I was just trying to save up enough money to buy an hour of your time." Sad, but true. But true. We need to give of time to our sons and daughters. Turnbull's pointed out that they can never remember ever talking to a man who at the end of his life ever wished that he'd spent more time at work. As dads, we need to remember that the quantity of time is not the most important, though we need to spend a good quantity of time with our sons and daughters. Along with quantity must come quality. Quality of time. So let's put the smartphones away, dads, and give our kids the time, the love that they deserve. So we show our kids our faith, we give them our approval, we give them our time, and then we need to be always ready to give them our help. Gift number four is help. The best way we can help our kids is to make sure we're there for them. I'll never forget how much it meant to me for my dad to be there for me. I remember him telling me, and it's when I was pretty young, when he told me, he said, "Son," he said, "even though he couldn't always stand up for me, he said he would always stand by me." Because I wasn't a very nice kid. There were many times where I needed discipline. I needed correction. But I always remember my dad being alongside of me, even if the correction was coming from him. I always knew that I could go to him. I always knew that he would give me the time. I always knew that he would give me good, solid advice, and that he loved me. So let's be the leader. Be the dad first, and then be the friend to our sons and daughters. So we give them our faith, we give them our approval, our time, and our help. And then one of the most important ones, I think, is to filling out the word father is the E, to give our kids an example to follow. God has placed each one of us dads into a teaching role, whether we want to or not, whether we think we are or not. I think of the TV commercial when they still had cigarette commercials on TV years ago, and you saw the dad walking down the street, and he took out a cigarette and he lit it up, and his little about 4-year-old son was behind him, and he just mimicked his dad's actions, like he was pulling a cigarette out of the pack, putting it into his mouth, and lighting it up to follow behind. He wanted to do whatever dad did. He wanted to be that dad. So the Turnbulls, they went ahead to point out that our kids, they say, and I like this, he said, they all have built-in video camera eyes and audio tape recording ears. He says they see and they hear all. So I ask you this morning, dads, what are you teaching your sons and your daughters? What are they seeing from your actions? The poem was written. It's entitled "To Any Daddy." There are little eyes upon you, and they're watching night and day. There are little ears that quickly take in every word you say. There are little hands all eager to do everything you do, and a little boy who's dreaming of the day he'll be like you. You're the little fellow's idol. You're the wisest of the wise. And his little mind about you, no suspicions ever rise. He believes in you devoutly, holds that all you say and do. He will say and do in your way when he's grown up just like you. There's a wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right, and his ears are always open, and he watches day and night. You are setting an example every day in all you do for the little boy who's waiting to grow up to be just like you. So we need to be ready to share this example. In this morning's message, we're told in 1 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12, let's turn back to that, where Paul writes, he says, "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comfort, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory." So we need to give them this example. So you've seen that we've covered 5 of the 6 gifts so far. We've talked about the faith we need to have, the approval that we need to give, the time that we need to share, the help that we always need to be ready to give. And then the 6th gift to close out the word father is respect. Too many times we demand the respect from our kids, but we don't realize that good relationships are built on mutual respect. We need to respect our kids. We need to remember that respect begins with listening. Do you take the times to listen to your kids, no matter how young they are, or no matter how old they're getting? As grandparents, do we still listen to our kids, or do we think our job is done? It's never done. So we need to continue to show that respect and to really listen. We find a good pattern on how to listen in James 1:19. Where we find James saying, "My dear brothers, Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I remember many years ago, I believe Brian was in middle school, when the group DC Talk came on the scene, and he fell in love with this group. In fact, every time they came on the radio on Friday nights, they would have the power hours on Power 88.5 on Station Automobile. And Brian would listen to that song, and they had a contest. During that time, they would always break into the show and give you the chance to be the fifth caller, the seventh caller, whatever, and get your name put into a drawing for front row tickets to the DC Talk concert that was coming to Pensacola. Well, I think Brian got on about every week and had his name put in. And I remember me and Rhonda were driving, I think we were just about getting across the Lillian Bridge this one Friday night when they announced the winner. It was Brian. He got to take one friend, and they had front row seats. They got to go backstage and meet the group. And I mean, he was just so happy about this. And so it was even after the concert came out, and I was coming home one afternoon, and Brian and Jonathan were alone in the house. And you have to realize that Rhonda, being the musician she is, she has her studio in the house, and you know, you don't have small speakers. I mean, we have speakers at that time that stood about this high, about this wide, in a very small studio room. And as young boys, my boys like to listen to their music loud. So as I come driving into the yard, I mean, I can feel the vibration, boom, 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 boom. And I get out of the car, and I'm hearing, "I don't want it. I don't want your sex right now." And I'm thinking, what in the world is, and I'm ready for battle. And I walk in the house, I said, "Brian, what are you listening to? Turn that garbage off." And he said, "But Dad, it's DC Talk." And I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, listen to these words." And as I listened to the song, it's a great song. Great message saying that they want to wait. They're not going to give themselves into the sexual community. Then they want to wait because that's the way God is using them, and that's the way God is directing them. And I mean, when I'd hear it on the radio from then on, I'd turn it up loud. But I didn't show the respect that I needed to. I wasn't listening. In this case, I was too quick to listen. To really listen, because if I had listened to the song all the way into the house, I would have gotten the message, and then I would have been okay saying, "All right, son, what's that song you're listening to?" But boy, I was armed for bear. I was ready to really get into it. And I wasn't slow enough to speak, but fortunately I allowed Brian to speak before I got angry. And so I apologized, as I've needed to do many times. So I think in showing respect to our sons and our daughters, we need to be ready at times to say, "I'm sorry, I was wrong." I know I shared with my boys, we lived on Guam while I was in the Navy, and we had a foul-mouthed neighbor. Well, a lot of times when you come with a foul-mouthed man in the house, and you have young kids in the house, they become foul-mouthed young kids. Because that's the example that they get. So Brian came in one night, and we had a young lady staying with us to finish high school over there. Her parents had to transfer, and we agreed to get guardianship of her, and she lived with us for her senior year. And Brian came in one night, and she told him to do something, and he let out a word that he had never heard in his house before. And I thought, Rhonda, I thought I was going to have to peel her off the ceiling. And I said, "I'll take care of this." And I asked him, I said, "Brian," I said, "where did you hear that word?" He said, oh, he said, Billy's dad says it all the time. And I said, have you ever heard your dad say that? And he said, no, sir. I said, have you ever heard your mother say that? And he said, no, sir. So I said, well, I want to tell you something. I said, if you hear something that you've never heard either your mom or your dad say, you need to come ask if it's okay for you to say it. But if you've heard mom or dad say it, it's okay for you to say it. Well, there's been times since that time where I've had to say, son, I'm sorry. That's not okay for you to say. And I apologize for dad saying it. But we all fail. We all fall short of the glory of God because that's called sin. But I try to show, and I've tried to show the respect as I've tried to share my faith with my boys. But before we can be the fathers, the dads, the moms, the grandmas, the grandpas, no matter what you call yourself this morning, before we can really be that example, because even though we use the acrostic father today, and we're talking especially to fathers because this is Father's Day, this message really fits everybody. Because we all have people in our lives that are looking at our influence and our example to follow. So, but before we can really be successful in doing that, before we can be the father that God wants us to be, we need to follow the instructions that God the Father has given us, first of all, of the way he wants each one of us to be. That first instruction we find in Matthew 22, Matthew 22, 37, where it says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So God doesn't want just part of us. He wants all of us. He wants the good. He wants the bad. And he can change the bad into good. I've talked to hundreds of people through the years, mostly men, who have told me, oh, I'll be ready to accept Jesus. I'll be ready to follow God when I can change this or this or this in my life. And my answer has always been, you'll never do it. You'll never do it until you allow God, through the Holy Spirit, to help you. Put your faith in Christ and then allow him to make you into that person that he wants you to be. There's just no other way. I tried for many years. I tried for many years. And then after I surrendered, I mean, he doesn't change us overnight. He's still working on me. You know, the old song, and it's still true because God's still working on me. I still have a long way to go to be that man that God wants me to be. But we need to remember that 1 John, as we close this morning, 1 John 1:9 tells us that we have a faithful God. A faithful God that says that if we confess our sins to him, that he will be faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There's that word again, all unrighteousness. He doesn't say, I will accept you except for this part of your life. Until you change this, I can't be your Savior. No, he wants to come in and change you into that person he wants you to be. I ask you this morning, do you know Jesus? Do you really know Jesus? Not just up here. Not do you know who Jesus is, but do you know Jesus in your heart as your Lord and as your Savior? Because that's what it takes. It takes that relationship. For many years, I thought it was all about religion. all about being in church, all about being the best person that I thought I could be. And I was probably about 19 or 20 years old when I finally found out the difference and found out that it's a relationship between me and Jesus. And it's a relationship that takes time. I needed to put my faith in Him. He showed me His approval, assured me that He would always be with me every day, all the time, that He would help me. I could always turn to His word for that example. And then I gave Him the respect and the love that He deserved and got on my knees and asked Him to become my Lord and Savior. And I've never looked back. So my prayer this morning is that you've already taken that step, that you've already started that relationship. If not, you can do so today. You can do so at the quietness of your own table. Or in just a minute, you can come forward and pray. Because it's just between you and God. It's just between you and Jesus. Maybe you've been a Savior or a Christian a long time, that you've known Christ as your Savior. But you've yet to join fellowship with an assembly of believers like we are here at Perdido Bay Baptist Church. I invite you to come and to join our family. Maybe you're new in the area. Maybe you're looking for a place to come and to worship, to fellowship, and to get to work. We're looking at many, many different ways to reach out into our community, into our surrounding area. The latest one is our movie nights, and it's been very, very successful so far. Met a lot of new people. Had a lot of chances to tell them about Jesus and to just share His love by providing free entertainment for the family. But again, whatever you need to do, let me encourage you to do it this morning.